The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Vaughn Forest. My name is Adam, and I have the honor, I have the privilege of serving here as the lead pastor. And I'm the new pastor, so like if you're new to Vaughn Forest, my family and myself, we are new as well. We've been here for about 6 weeks now, and we're loving being here. I've enjoyed getting to meet so many of you. Thank you. You've been so kind, so gracious. We feel so welcome. But having said that, there's a lot of you who I haven't had a chance to meet yet. And so I just wanted to say, hey, on Sundays, let's catch up. I like to hang out in the lobby. Come by, introduce yourself. Let me know a little bit about you, and I'll make sure I memorize your name. All right, so I'm going to try to learn everybody's name. That was a joke, but now I have said it because now I got to do it. But man, we're enjoying being here, and we are kicking off a new series today. It's my second series that I'm kicking off here since I've gotten here, and I'm excited that we're doing that today. So again, let me welcome you. I know a lot of you are watching online, so let me welcome you as well. And we are talking about divine direction for 5 weeks. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that we want to invite God into the decisions that we have to make in our lives. In fact, I've entitled today's message, So Many Decisions, because it doesn't matter what season of life you're in, what stage of life you're in, there are decisions that you're making. And isn't it interesting how every new season of life presents us with a new set of decisions that we have to make? So you may be a student, and you're trying to figure out, like, what does the next season of my life look like? Am I going to go to college, or am I going to go to trade school, or am I going to take a year off, or am I just going to start working? And those are some pretty big decisions. You may be here this morning, and you're thinking through, like, your career. And you kind of like where you're at, but there's an opportunity kind of on the horizon, and you're trying to figure out, is that a step that I should take or not? Maybe you're a family, and you've got two kids, and you're starting to have a conversation, like, do we want to have a third kid? And you know, then they will outnumber us, and so that's kind of a big decision to make. And so regardless of, like, where you're at, your age or your season, there's decisions that you're making. And I can't tell you how many times over the years someone has asked me, what do you think God wants me to do? I can't tell you how many times over the years I've sat across from the table at breakfast or over coffee with a trusted mentor or another friend or another pastor, and I've looked at that person and said, hey, what do you think God wants me to do? I mean, all of us get to a place where we have decisions that we have to make, and we want to be in God's will. We don't want to make decisions outside of God's will. We don't want to set out on a course that's going to lead us somewhere where God's not in that. And so we're going to take 5 weeks to talk about that. Like, how do we actually seek and discern and hear God's divine direction? Because, see, decisions matter. And if we were really kind of to pull back and look at things, what we could observe is that for a large part, most of us, our lives exist like they do today. We are the people we are today because of the decisions we've made in the past. Now, having said that, for a lot of those decisions, that brings about some regret. So what I don't want to happen in this series is for regret to rob you from what God wants to show you over the next 5 weeks. But anytime we talk about decisions, the first thing we usually think of is poor decisions we made in the past, and we have regret. And if that's what you're feeling right now, and if you have some decisions in the past that you've made that you regret, the word for that is normal, okay? Nobody's ever gotten every decision right except for Jesus, okay? Nobody bats 1,000 when it comes to making decisions. All of us have made decisions that we regret. And the enemy would like to use regret to rob you from what God wants to show you during the series. Don't let that happen. Let's learn from maybe some of our past mistakes, but we don't want to let regret rob us. And then having said that, if our past decisions have shaped where we are today, here's where it gets fun. The decisions we're making now and the decisions we will make in the very near future are going to shape the stories that we will tell one day. Our decisions matter. Our decisions either set us on a course where we are walking in God's will, or our decisions can set us on a course where we find ourselves completely out of God's will. And what we're going to do for 5 weeks is get really practical. Okay, so there's a lot of different ways we can look at this, and so we're going to do that practically. I'm going to give you a lot of hopefully helpful applications, but what I wanted to do today is kind of lay a foundation, lay a foundation that will help us be able to more practically put into practice some of the steps we're going to talk about over the next month. And so if you're taking notes this morning, which I would encourage you to do, there's a sheet of notes in your bulletin. You can find that. You can pull that out. I've just got four statements. They're really short. You can write them down. And I tried to make them short so they're easy to remember, that I think will kind of foundationally set us on a course where we really begin to seek, discern, understand, follow God's divine direction. So if you're taking notes this morning, here is the first kind of foundational statement for this entire series. Who before do? I told you, it took me a long time to come up with a three-worded statement. You're welcome, right? So who before do? What does that mean? It's a short statement. I'm hoping it helps you remember this idea that who you are is always more important to God than what you do. Who before do? This matters. Oftentimes when we talk about divine direction, what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? We start with what? And that makes sense. I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out. That's what we're trying to understand. But what we see from God's word is that he's always more concerned about who we are becoming than what it is that we actually do. So who you are becoming is more important than your occupation. Who you are becoming is more important than where you live. Who you are becoming always matters to God. And when you look for passages in the Bible about God's will and how to follow God's will, there are certainly a number of places we can go, and we will during this series. But there's one short verse that, in my opinion, really clarifies in a succinct way what God's will for our life is. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the first part of verse 3. Here's what it says. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. So what is God's will for my life? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Some of your translations may say holy. It is God's will that you should be holy. And the word holy, the word sanctified, what that word means is to be set apart. That biblically speaking, holy, sanctified, being holy, being sanctified means that our lives look different, that our lives are set apart, that God's desire is that we grow to become more like Jesus. God's desire is that we are conformed into the image of Jesus, that our holiness and being set apart is more important to God than the specific things that we do in our life. And the series is called Divine Direction because it's not a divine destination. Here's what I mean by that. Like, we don't get to a place in our life where we achieve full holiness. That happens when we get to heaven one day. So it's not like we can ever say, I have arrived. I am finally holy. I am finally exactly where God wants me to be. No, it's a direction that we set out upon that hopefully as we take steps in that direction, we are conformed more into the image to look more like the person of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. Who before do. So you see Jesus in the four Gospels. Sometimes people will bring up specific things like occupation or a conversation will ensue where occupation is kind of one of the things that's being discussed. And it's interesting to me that Jesus uses those opportunities not to clarify an occupation, but to talk about who the person is actually becoming. I mean, Jesus's disciples, when he called them, many of them were fishermen. And he said, hey, leave your nets, leave your occupation, come and follow me. The rich young ruler says, hey, what do I need to do to follow you? Jesus says, it's easy. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. Jesus is talking about who they are becoming, and they're thinking about what it is that they actually do. So what does that mean for us? Okay, again, we're going to get practical over the next 5 weeks, but just for today, like, what does that mean? Well, like, for example, when you're trying to make a big decision, you run it through the filter of, well, who am I going to become if I make this decision? So students, like if you're trying to choose a college, like, is this going to be a place or an environment where I actually grow to become more like the person of Jesus? When you're trying to decide, like, should I take that occupation or should I take that job? Well, is this going to stretch my faith? And see, here's where this is tricky, and this is why we're spending 5 weeks on this. Oftentimes, it's not the easy decision that will actually shape us more into becoming like Jesus. Oftentimes, it's not what seems so obvious that will actually help us become more like Jesus. And so there is some discernment. There is some clarification that has to take place, even when we say who before do. So that's why we're taking 5 weeks for this series. But for today, remember, God's always more interested in who you are becoming than what it is that you actually do. Let me give you the second statement for today to kind of lay a foundation. Why before what? Why before what? Again, a three-word statement. I know. I worked really hard on these. Okay, so why before what, okay? I want you to remember them. So who before do, why before what? Why does that matter, okay? Because our motives matter to God. Why we are going to do something matters to God. And oftentimes, we are focused on what it is that we are going to do. And here's the thing about me. I hope this is true about you, because if it's only true about me, I'm going to feel weird, but I'm going to share this. So this is kind of what's true about me. My motives, I'm always convinced, are good. Like, I think very highly of myself. Like, I think that my motives are pure. I think that when I am making decisions, I am making them from a good place, from a right heart, because I am a caring person. Like, I have a way of thinking about myself only in very positive terms. And I don't make decisions intentionally with bad motives. I mean, that's just not how I'm wired. That's not how I do things. And what's really challenging is that God tells us that our hearts can deceive us, and sometimes we can convince ourselves that our motives are pure when in reality they actually are not. Proverbs 16:2 says it this way: all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So this is where it's challenging when you talk about God's will. If I think that my heart's in the right place, if I think that my motives are pure, but they really aren't, I'm going to set out on a path that's not going to take me ultimately where God wants me to be or where I want to be. And David, so maybe you're checking out church, and maybe this is kind of new and you're kind of new to faith. You've probably heard a guy named David. He killed Goliath when he was young, and then he later became king. He wrote a really good prayer in a book of the Bible called Psalms chapter 39, where he asked God, he said, "Hey, God, would you search my heart and know me and reveal to me any offensive way that is in me?" And I've found that that is a really good prayer to pray, that when I ask God to search my heart and to reveal anything that's in my heart that is offensive in any way, honestly, I'm shocked how many times my motives are for me. I'm shocked how many times I had convinced myself that I was really doing something from a pure motivation, when after God searched my heart and revealed some things that were there, that at the end of the day, like, this was really all about me, that I was driven by what was best for me, that I had a motivation there that was best for me. So it's a really good prayer to pray, but please don't miss this. It's not a fun prayer to pray, okay? But I'm going to challenge you during this series to pray that prayer, maybe daily, to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I want you to search my heart and show me if there are any impure ways, if there's anything in my heart about me." He said, "Why would I want to pray that prayer? Like, that doesn't really sound like a fun, quiet time. Like, I don't want to pray that prayer. Like, God's going to show me all this stuff about me. I've convinced myself that, you know, I was doing things from the right perspective. You're asking me to ask God." Let me tell you why this matters, okay? It's impossible to get to the right destination if you have the wrong motives. If you set out on a course and your motives are not aligned with the heart of God, you are ultimately going to end up in a place that's not where God wants you to be. So at the end of the day, even though it is not a fun process, we benefit from the process. Like, when God reveals our motives to us, it allows us to recalibrate, to realign, to get back aligned with God and say, "Okay, God, the big decision that I have to make in this particular area of my life, I need some clarity, but I'm going to focus on becoming more like you, and I'm going to focus on making sure that my motives before you are pure." What's interesting is that oftentimes when we get those two things right, it's like God begins to reveal to us one step at a time the what. So we're trying to figure out what to do, but who we are becoming and why we're actually going about doing this oftentimes will lead us then to what it is we actually need to do, okay? So who before do, why before what? I believe that foundationally we have to come back to that over and over and over, regardless of how complex the decision is that we're trying to make, okay? Now, here's the thing. Let me just kind of get real with you for a second. As I've been preparing for this series and kind of knowing this was where we're going, I've been really excited about this. I've kind of, you know, researched this and prayed about this, and I've tried to study this over the years and tried to get a handle on all of this. And so, like, those two statements for me have always kind of been foundational, like who before do and why before what. But I, when I get up here to teach, like, my goal is that I share something that's true from God's word that is hopefully helpful for you, it's encouraging to you, it's challenging for you, and that I share it in a way where it's not like, hey, I'm the expert who's figured this out, now let me impart to you all of these great things I know so you guys can figure it out. No, like, I'm coming alongside you. Like, when I get up here to share, I'm not sharing from an expert. I'm sharing, like, as a student. I'm saying, hey, as I'm trying to walk with the Lord, like, these are the things he's showing me, and let's continue to move forward together. And as I was really preparing for the series and I was praying about this, I just kind of got to a place where I just had an uneasiness. I just was like, Lord, I can't just tell him that. I can't just get up there and say, all right, guys, here's the thing. I know you got a big decision to make. I worked on two phrases. They're really short, right? Who before do, why before what? Let's pray and go figure it out. I was like, Lord, I know that those statements are true, but there's got to be something that grounds them. Like, there's got to be, like, something that allows those statements to have some substance. There's got to be something beneath the surface that are the reasons why those statements are true. And as I prayed through that, and as I asked the Lord to kind of, like, Lord, show me, like, what is it? I felt like the Lord, like, was faithful to answer that prayer and show me, like, yes, there are some things that ground those statements. There are some things that give those statements substance. And so the next two fill-ins in our notes are those two statements. And I really kind of debated, like, am I supposed to give you the first two statements that I just did, or am I supposed to give you these two statements? So now that I've confused everyone, I chose to give these two statements last. But they are the foundation for why who before do matters and why before what matters. That if you miss these next two points, none of the rest of it matters, okay? So point number three in your notes that gives some substance to why these statements are true. If you're taking notes, you can jot this down this morning. That you sync up before setting out. Sync up before setting out. I think it's kind of the statement that gives some substance to who before do. It's the statement that gives some substance to why before what. What do I mean by that? That before we set out to discern God's will, that before we set out to make big decisions in our life, before we set out to even focus on who we are becoming, what our motivations are, we better make sure we are synced up with God. That if we set out to try to discern God's will for our life, but we've never synced up with who God is, it's all just going to be pointless. And it's really important for us to be synced up with God. And the reason why it's so important is because God is a planner. God is a planner. So, like, in every marriage, there's usually one spouse who's a planner and one spouse who is spontaneous. And so, like, if you're the spontaneous spouse, like, just hang with me here for a second, okay? Like, planning can be a good thing. God is a planner. And what I'm saying is it's good to be synced up with him. Now, here's where that gets fun. When I say God is a planner, here's what I mean. God planned you. God planned for you. Like, God knew you before you were you. Let that one roll around in your head all afternoon, okay? Like, God knew you before you were you. Like, God knit you together in your mother's womb. God has a purpose for your life. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You are a part of his great plan. God chose the time and the place in which you would live. Of all the centuries you could have lived on this earth, you live here now. I don't know about y'all, but, like, I watch movies sometimes for, like, life in the past. I'm like, thank you, Lord, that I'm alive now. Like, I would have made it back then. So, like, I mean, I like electricity and sleeping indoors, right? So, like, I'm kind of glad I'm alive in this century. Those of you who camp, you're taking us backwards, right? We like to sleep inside now. Anyway, that's just a joke. Okay, so here's the idea that, like, God chose the time and the place that you would live. This is his plan. He has a purpose for you. I hope that encourages you this morning. God's a planner. But see, there's a problem. Even though God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life, and there is nothing that's happened by default, that's all been by design, sin gets in the way of all of that. It gets in the way of all of that. So even though God has a plan and a purpose for your life and he designed you, you, me, all of us, we are sinners by nature and choice. And God can't have anything to do with sin. So that creates a dilemma that even though God, this great planner, designed us, we are sinners by nature and choice. Now there is a problem. What do I mean by nature and by choice? We choose to sin, okay? Like, we place ourselves at the center of every conversation, of every decision, and we are self-centered human beings. We are prideful, all of us, okay? That is just something that unites us, that we all think of ourselves first. We make choices based from our pride. We're also sinners by our nature. Anybody who's raised kids has seen this. I mean, we have three boys, and as we've raised our boys, and when they were little, and even now, like, we've never had to teach them how to be selfish. We've always had to teach them how to share. They figured out the selfishness on their own. Why? Because it's in their nature. It's not just in children's nature. It's in adult nature as well. So this is a problem, okay? But because God is such a great planner, he even had a plan for that problem. Like when we read in the Bible, the first two people who sinned, Adam and Eve, we see that even in the midst of that, God already had a plan, and he was going to enact a great rescue plan. God was not going to let sin have the final word. And for the rest of the Old Testament, what we see unfolding is that nothing or no one will stop God's great rescue plan. We see the culmination of his great rescue plan when he sent his son to earth, Jesus, in the form of a baby. We celebrate that at Christmas, but you can celebrate that any day of the year, okay? God comes to earth as one of us, and Jesus is literally born to die. That this is his great rescue plan, that Jesus will die on the cross in our place for our sin. He will then defeat death through the resurrection. And God is saying, I want you to be synced up with me. I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who designed you. I'm the one who has a plan for you. And I'm the one who went out of my way to make sure that even though you were a sinner, that would not keep you from being synced up with me, your creator, your heavenly father. And so the way that we get synced up with God is through the person of Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean? It means that every single person has to come to a place in his or her life where they make that decision. It doesn't matter what your parents believe, what your grandparents believe. You have to come to a place in your life where you admit, I'm a sinner. Like, it's not that Jesus just died on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that he did that for me. I believe that he defeated death through the resurrection. And I want to ask him to come into my life to be my savior so I can experience eternal life, so that I can walk with him now as my Lord. He is now the one who rules my life. It no longer belongs to me. And when you make that decision, you are now synced up with God, your heavenly father. Please hear my heart when I say this. The reason why some of you have a difficult time knowing what God wants you to do is because you're not synced up with him. You're still walking in your sin. And you're looking for guidance from a place that until you accept Jesus Christ as your savior, you're just not gonna find it. And today could be your day of salvation. But see, here's what's even more amazing. It even gets better. Like, not only did Jesus do all of that for us so we could be synced up with God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus then gave us a gift as we set out on this journey of life of discerning God's voice. Jesus gave us a gift to help us be able to figure that out. See, we serve a Trinitarian God. Like, well, that's a fancy term. All that means is it's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and then God the Holy Spirit. Let me read you a passage where Jesus kind of presents the picture of all three, and then what does that mean to us? We're synced up with God through Jesus. Jesus says, now you're going to receive a gift. John 16, verses 13 through 15. Here's what Jesus says. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. See, when we sync up with God through experiencing salvation through Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in us to guide us. See, God's will for your life is not that you wander around aimlessly, not knowing what he wants you to do. God is not a God of confusion. God wants you to be able to discern his divine direction. And here's what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. This is incredible, okay? I hope you heard this in the passage. Jesus says that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide the life of a believer into all truth. Jesus says one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, this is amazing. He says it in this passage, is to tell you what is yet to come. So here's how all that works. Like, when you get synced up to God, your Heavenly Father, through the person of Jesus Christ, God is not limited by time or space. Student, you got a big decision to make. In the future, here's some good news. God is already in the future. He's on the other side of that decision. If you've got a big decision to make, adult in the room, and you're like, man, I don't know how that's going to go. Here's some good news. God's already there. And God, if you're synced up to him through the person of Jesus Christ, gives you the Holy Spirit who will guide you into what is yet to come. Set your feet on the path to get you where God is already at. It's incredible. So here's what that means. That for the believer, before we make decisions, before we set out to figure out what God's will for our life is, we pause and we ask and we seek and we wait and we listen for that still small voice that can guide us into all truth, that can guide us into what is yet to come. But if you miss out on syncing up with God, your Heavenly Father, through the person of Jesus Christ, and you try to walk through this life on your own without the Holy Spirit guiding you, you're not going to end up where God wants you to be. So I think that's foundational. I think that that roots this statement that who before do is true. It gives this statement that why before what matters. It gives it some substance. But then there's a second part. And I think this is the part that most of us miss. If we could be honest together this morning, it's the last fill-in in your notes. See, I think that we have to believe before we doubt. That we have to believe before we doubt. So we're synced up before we set out, and then we believe before we doubt. What do I mean by that? Do you believe what I just said is true? I think the number one reason that most people never hear from God is they don't believe that he has anything to say to them. They're not looking to hear from God. They're not listening to hear from God. But if you're synced up with God, your Heavenly Father, he's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did. And he wants to guide you. My question for you this morning is, do you believe that? Or do you doubt it? Do you think that God only speaks to people who maybe, you know, they kind of practice their faith in ways that are a little different? Yeah, it's kind of a little out there. I'm not so sure that's me. Or do you believe that God only speaks to people who are like super spiritual and much godlier than you? If that's what you think, why would God say anything? It's like, well, I'll speak to them. Like, they're seeking my voice. But here's what I believe to be true. God wants to speak to you. God wants to guide you. God wants to lead you. My question for you this morning is, do you believe that? To your core, have you staked your life on it? That you're not going to set out to make decisions in your own strength, but you've thrown yourself at the mercy of God and his wisdom and his guidance. And if he doesn't show up and speak, you're in trouble. Do you believe that? Or do you say, no, that's for someone else? See, I'm challenging you this morning to stare down whatever set of circumstances you are in this morning and say, God, I'm going to keep believing. See, I'm challenging you this morning that regardless of the complexity of the decisions that you need to make, that you stare them down and you say, God, I am going to continue to believe. I can't see you right now. I can't feel you right now. I can't even hear you right now, but I am not going to give in to doubt. I am going to believe that you are who you say you are, and I'm going to believe that I'm synced up to you, and I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit in me can guide me, God. I'm not going to give in to my doubt, and I'm going to keep seeking you, and I'm going to keep asking, and I'm going to keep knocking, and Lord, I'm not going away until you show up and you speak and you guide and you lead. See, I don't know about you, but for me, that's why worship is so important. Like, I love to come together and worship corporately. And that means like when we sing. Worship is more than singing, but I'm talking specifically about when we sing praises to God. See, when we sing to God, it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate whether or not we actually believe the words we're saying, believe the words we're singing, or is this kind of just one more thing that we do because we're at church? And for so many people, songs are just kind of the things you do until somebody gets up to talk. And when worship became real for me is when I recognized what I was actually saying. I don't even sing that good. But when I realized what I was singing and that it was actually true, it changed everything because now all of a sudden my heart was engaged and I was believing the words that I said. And for some reason, I can't quite explain, there have been some significant moments in my life where God has spoken to me while I've been worshiping. Like you say audibly? No, not audibly. A still, small, quiet voice from the Holy Spirit that could only be from God. Now, I'm a preacher. So honestly, I wish God would speak to me while I was listening to somebody preach because it would help me like make more sermon illustrations. But that's not how it's worked in my life. Like I've been worshiping. I was 18 years old and I'm worshiping in a room with 1,000 other teenagers. And God speaks to me and says, I'm calling you into ministry to be a pastor. I could take you to the seat I was in that night. And there's been so many times over the last 20 years where I've had to go back to that and say, God called me. There's been other times where during a worship, God just spoke in a significant way, and it was very specific with what I was going through in that season of my life, but it was profound. And so, like, we do that in here every week. We come together and we sing songs. We're about to sing another one here, but like my challenge to you this morning is, do you believe that? Do you believe what you're saying? So like, we're gonna sing a song here in just a minute. And I just thought it would be helpful, fun, to kind of just read over some of the words we're literally about to say, okay? We're about to sing these words together. Like, well, I need to go eat lunch. You're gonna sing these words before you go eat lunch, right? This is what we're gonna sing, okay? We're gonna literally tell God, you are here, moving in our midst. If you could see that, you'd never be the same. We're about to say it. My question for you this morning is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God is actually going to be here, moving in our midst? We're going to say, you are here working in this place. Many of you need God to show up and work in a specific circumstance in your life. We're about to tell God that he's here working. Maybe he wants to work in whatever you're facing this morning. We're going to tell God in just a minute, you're here healing every heart. We're going to say that's true. Do you believe it? Like, for some of you this morning, you need to be healed from a wound that's in your heart. And we're about to tell God that he's doing that. My question is, do you believe it? We're going to tell God in just a minute that you are here and you are turning lives around. Some of you walked in here this morning and you're making decisions in your own wisdom. And today needs to be your day of salvation where you throw yourself at the mercy of the cross. You sync yourself up with God, your Heavenly Father, and you walk out of this room with your life having been completely turned around. My question for you this morning is, do you believe that to be true? And then here's what we're going to tell God. We're going to tell God that he is a way maker. Many of you need God to make a way you cannot make on your own. Do you believe that he can do that? We're going to tell God he's a miracle worker. Some of you are facing illness or sickness right now,
And I believe God can heal you. Do you believe God can heal you? You're going to tell him in just a few moments that he is a miracle worker. We're going to tell God he's a promise keeper. Some of you have heard from the Lord in the past, but it hasn't come into fruition yet. Do you believe he's going to keep his promise? We're going to tell him that in just a minute. My question is whether or not you believe it. We're going to tell God he is our light in the darkness. And we walk out into a dark, dark world seeking God's divine direction and needing a light. And we're going to tell him that he is that light. And then we're going to do it over and over and over again. We are going to repeat these statements in a song over and over and over again. God is into repetition. God loves repetition. So we say words in a song, and then guess what? We sing them over and over. And you say, why do we sing a song in 7 minutes when we could have sang it in two? We're just singing the same thing over and over and over. And the reason why we take 7 minutes to sing a song when we could have only sang it in two is because God is a God who loves repetition. In fact, right now, around the throne, they're angels, and they circle God's throne. They've been doing this since the beginning of time. They will do this for all eternity. And here's all they say. Holy, holy, holy is the God, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they say it over, and they say it over, and they say it over. God loves repetition. You know what God loves repetition so much? Not because he needs to hear it. Not because it does anything for him. Not because it boosts his self-confidence. God doesn't care about repetition because of what it does for him. God loves repetition for what it does for us. That when we say these things over and over and over, we are reminded of who God is. And if I'm going to tell you that you can trust God with your life, and you can trust God with the major decisions of your life, I need you to experience that to be true as well. As we move into this time of worship, it can just be the last few minutes of our service, and you can go eat. Or it could be an opportunity for you to encounter the Creator of the universe, who desires to speak to you as one of his children. Would you bow your head and pray with me this morning? God, that's what we're asking. It's for you to fall down on this place and speak. And speak to us. God, many of us, we need direction. We need healing. We need you to make a way. We need you to show up. Lord, we're desperate. And Lord, for these next few moments, may we encounter you. May we experience you. May we hear from you. May we be reminded of who you are. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we stand together this morning, as our team leads us, I'm going to challenge you and encourage you to encounter a living God.